Now, something that other people don't always think about is, and I think in a discussion you and I had had before, is for women, makeup has wheat or things in there that may be causing issues for people, but they don't think about that. So can you kind of get into that a little bit more for me?
Sure. One of the interesting things about the fragrance and beauty product industry is that they are not regulated the same as the food industry.
Okay.
So there are certain things that are proprietary. Fragrance, for instance, if it says fragrance on the bottle or of anything, anything could be in there.
Right.
Absolutely anything, because it's seen as proprietary information, as a trade secret. That's going to change at some point.
But those trade secrets are causing people issues.
Trade secrets can include not only food allergies, but very harmful chemicals. And there's a great book called No More Dirty Looks out there that really gets into that issue from a chemical side. There's a lot of nut products in beauty. There's a lot of natural products that are fantastic for you, and that's great. But now that people have nut allergies, you have to watch out for that. And the trickiest right now is the gluten, because things like vitamin E are often derived, from wheat.
Okay.
And wheat protein has been seen since, I don't know, the 70s, maybe longer, as being very good for your hair, and it is. But now that people have such issues with it, you can actually have a reaction. Now, if you have a allergy, just having it near your nose or on your skin could
cause a reaction.
Could cause a reaction.
Sure.
If you are gluten sensitive or have celiac disease, they say that the molecules are too big to be absorbed. But if you have a rash called dermatitis herpetiformis, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, it could also potentially exacerbate that. You would just want to be careful.
Okay.
And the problem is, if you get makeup around your... There's a study out that that came out, I think it was spring of last year, that kind of went into this and the dangers of that. If you use lipstick and it has wheat in it, or if you have anything around your eyes, nose, and mouth that can get into the mucous membranes, it will get into your body.
Right, right.
So it's always good to go through, if you've got these issues, to go through and see what's in your beauty products too.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Now, you also mentioned, I mean, obviously there's other food allergies. So what are some of the most common ones that people may be afflicted with?
Dairy and gluten and nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, there's eight top food allergens that are basically government recognized food allergies. And tree nuts, peanuts, dairy, gluten, fish, seafood, soy.
Okay.
And how many is that? Seven?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I may have missed one, but those are the top.
Now, you also write a column for Women's Lifestyle.
I do.
And that's a monthly column, correct?
It is.
And what are some of the topics that you discuss in your column?
Well, I try to hit different parts of the lifestyle. So I either bring in we discuss recipes, like a meal plan. If you've got multiple food allergies, we did a meal plan in there once. I talked about dating in the February issue around Valentine's Day, of course.
Sure.
You know, there are a few people out there, and they're probably growing, that if you have a severe allergic reaction to a certain food like nuts or wheat or anything, and you get kissed, you could cause your data to have a very severe food allergy reaction.
Wow.
So how socially...
Got to be careful who you kiss. For many reasons.
That's right. It's not safe anymore.
I guess not.
So it's, there are social issues like that.
Sure.
And I'll bring in, I talked to a wonderful psychologist, a couple of them actually, for that, to kind of help say, how do you talk to your potential date? You're being asked out for the first time.
Right.
And you have to say, please don't kiss me, or please don't eat peanuts for 2 days before you can, before we see each other, because we might kiss,
Right.
So it's, you know, lifestyle issues
sure.
like that, or how to go to a party, how to address your family, because
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
another thing. You really need to find your tribe.
Okay.
You know, who are the people that are going to understand you the most and help them support you? Because if it's complicated for you, mm-hmm. it's six times more complicated for the people who are cooking for you.
Right, right.
So it's your basically kind of taking your power and saying, you know, this is my thing.
Right.
I have to protect myself.
Sure.
And I have to still be fun to be around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how do I balance that?
Now, once somebody makes a determination that they are afflicted by one of these issues and they get things situated as far as what they're eating, maybe if they're a woman, the makeup they're putting on, how long does it take for them to, you know, be feeling good?
You know, that varies on the individual and what else might be going on with them. But I've heard people say that, you know, after 3 days, they feel better.
Okay.
Some people feel better after 3 months.
Okay.
Some people, it takes longer, years
okay.
maybe, because
okay.
there's other deeper issues going
sure.
on, or there's a lot of damage that's
happened.
And
they need to get a handle on all those things.
Exactly. That's
okay.
why, and, you know, understanding your reaction to food is so important, just because you have to be able to, you have to know what you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
And how to communicate it to people so, you know, it's not just a preference. It's actually, this is a preference and this is a lifestyle choice and this is important
right.
to my health.
Right.
So you can be strong in yourself
mm-hmm.
and also help other people support you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just totally got off topic there.
Well, but I think it's great that more people are aware these days.
Yeah. Oh, it's so helpful.
And, you know, before, if you probably went back 20 years, you didn't have the resources and people weren't, you know, in the know on these things.
Yeah, I think there's two things happening. Because there's such an increase, there is more of awareness, and it was harder
mm-hmm.
in many ways for people
sure.
20 years ago. But what's harder for people today is I'll have people comment on the blog and say, you know, we just kept the kid away from peanuts. We made sure the friends knew, and we just made sure that everything was, you know, we checked everything and had his EpiPen in his backpack and
mm-hmm.
made sure the teachers knew and had the community around him. But today, it seems like the immune reactions are getting worse.
Mm.
So
scary.
It's very scary, especially for moms with little kids.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, and they're becoming more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And other reasons that different experts have said is that the, you know, because we're eating so much through mass processing,
right.
It's causing an issue. There's also other people saying that generally more toxic environment
mm-hmm.
gives our liver and our gallbladder and our immune system so much to deal with from
right.
just air pollution, and that when you have something that might be a little off in your food,
mm-hmm.
It creates a cascade of problems.
Right.
And then there's also a very scary thing happening called genetically modified organisms.
Okay.
That it's really what's happening to our food is what I'd love to have people really understand, is that there is something different that has been happening in our environment and in our food, and
mm-hmm.
one of those things is genetically modified organism.
Right.
And that is different than crossbreeding or things that have happened in the past. It's even different than the protein increase.
Okay.
And that's a genetic modification also. But these particular genetic modifications actually breed the plant
okay.
to either produce or resist herbicides.
Okay.
Either specific herbicides or not. And there's been no long-term, there's starting to be long-term studies. When it came out, there was no long-term studies of how this would affect you.
Right.
So if you have you want to grow corn
mm-hmm.
and you want the corn borer to not touch your corn, you plant genetically modified corn.
Mm-hmm.
The corn borer will eat the corn and die.
Mm-hmm.
What's that going to do to us if we eat a lot of corn?
Right.
That has not been studied properly. And there are third-party groups that are studying this now and showing long-term damage to
okay.
intestines, to the liver in small and large animals.
Okay.
And there's a couple of great groups out there. One is called the Institute for Responsible Technology, and they are amazing at what they have researched so far. And
okay.
then there's also a non-GMO project, which has a lot of research that people can go look at
okay.
to learn more about that.
Okay.
But this could also be something that's behind the whole
right.
Food allergy increase as
well. It seems like there's quite a few variables.
There are a lot,
yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what, you know, scientists work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they work it out very soon.
Yes, exactly.
This is Paul Jindrasiak with Sunday Morning Town Square, and I've been joined in the studio by Beth Veltman. Beth has a website, tenderpalate.com, great local resource for those dealing with food allergies and gluten issues. Thanks so much for joining me, Beth.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely.